Hi, I'm Michael Senoff, founder and CEO of HardToFindSeminars.com. For the last 5 years, I've interviewed the world's best business and marketing minds. Along the way, I've created a successful publishing business all from home from my two-car garage. When my first child was born, he was very sick, and it was then that I knew I had to have a business that I could operate from home. Now my challenge is to build the world's largest free resource for online downloadable MP3 audio business interviews. I knew I needed a site that contained strategies, solutions, and inside angles to help you live better, to save and make more money, to stay healthier, and to get more out of life. I've learned a lot in the last 5 years, and today I'm going to show you the skills you need to survive. So what would you tell an importer or someone who's thinking about supplying Walmart? Any advice on how to work with them, what they can expect and what you can expect as a supplier to them?
I can summarize it in two words: underpromise and overachieve.
Hi, this is Michael with Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. I have a very special interview for you if you're interested in learning how to get your product into Walmart and other mass merchandise retailers here in the U.S. Want to get your product into Walmart or any of America's top retail chains? Then what better way to learn than listen to the advice from someone who has done it before? This is a very special interview with the CEO of one of the nation's largest and most prestigious flour importers and distributors. His name is Edgar. He has been dubbed the Latin King of Flowers. Although he seems a bit embarrassed by his nickname, the success story that he tells will prove that it's quite justified and well-earned. This interview is packed with great information on topics such as import-export, innovations to the flower industry, business strategies, and how to be successful at operating a business dealing with perishable products, and also how to deal with Walmart and much more. It's an enjoyable interview that I encourage you to take the time to listen to. Not only will you learn a great deal about getting your product into Walmart and working with Walmart, but you'll hear the story of how a young man from a third world country came to America with hard work and ingenuity, turned his passion for flowers into a multi-million dollar business. Get ready, let's go. How did you get started in this? Were you entrepreneurial when you were younger, and where are you from?
I was born in Bogota, Colombia. And at the age of 15 and a half, I came to America as an exchange student. I landed in California in a little town called Thousand Oaks.
How old are you now?
I'm 44. And basically, I finished my high school.
Did you come over just yourself or your family?
Myself.
That must have been pretty scary, huh?
Very scary, but a lot of fun, too.
Did you know anyone?
No, I did not know anyone. And I came to an American home with great people, and I spent with them 1 year, in which I was able to learn English and got my high school degree.
Why did you want to leave Colombia? Why not just stay there?
Because I was looking for an opportunity, and I wanted to live in the United States.
Did you have that dream that everyone has?
Since I was probably 12 years old.
Where did that start? Do you remember?
Watching TV.
Watching TV?
Yes.
What were you thinking? America's the greatest place to live?
The greatest place to live. It's a place of opportunity, and I didn't want to live in a country that opportunities were limited to your last name.
Did you know at that age there wasn't much opportunity?
Yes.
How did you know that?
My father clearly explained it to me. Indented in my head that the good opportunities were in America.
What did your father do?
My father actually was well off in Colombia. He's an importer of steel and had distribution for the construction companies and big hardware stores.
Was he importing into Colombia?
Into Colombia, cold roll and hot roll.
Wow. Was his dad in the business, your grandfather?
Yes.
So you have a lineage of importing and exporting expertise.
Kind of, yes. I grew up, you know, listening to my father dealing with other countries and dealing with government agencies and importing.
Did he teach you a lot in the younger years?
Well, not that he teaches me a lot, but he exposed me to a lot of different things. You know, I used to go and work at the factory on vacations. You know, if we weren't going to go anywhere, we would be working. So I was interested in upbringing in. My father has a very strong work ethic, so it's good at the early stage of my life to be able to see that.
So you didn't grow up poor in Colombia. You were well off in Colombia.
Yes, we were multimillionaires, but my father was very well off.
That's good, because it's definitely common that if you have very wealthy parents, many times the kids don't end up with that drive and ambition.
Oh, but he never gave me anything that I didn't earn.
So he taught you that if you want something, you work for it.
Yes, I had to work for it. You know, a little something that he gave me, you know, I had to clean the car. There was something that I had to do for whatever I wanted. There was nothing for free.
All right, so you went through high school, and then did you mention you did go to college?
Yes, basically I finished my high school year. I went back to Colombia for 6 months just to spend some time over there to settle in with my things, and we've already been accepted here to FIU in Miami. So with 6 months, my school started here. So I came to Miami, and I started my college here, and I graduated 4 years later.
Were you majoring in business?
Yeah, international business.
So you knew that's what you wanted to do?
And strategic management.
Did you have any idea at that time it was going to be importing flowers?
Well, you know, while I was going to school, that's where the whole thing started. Basically, when I was a junior in college, I started toying with flowers. My father had a friend who had a farm in Colombia, and he started to export a little bit of roses to the United States, and then I would receive those flowers and try to sell them to flower shops. There were small amounts, a couple of boxes here and there, and I had a van, and I would knock on flower shops and sell bunches or buy box lots.
So do you remember your first shipment?
Oh, yeah.
How many did you ship over your first shipment?
Oh, about 10 boxes.
So that wasn't on a container?
No, it was by plane.
By plane.
In a passenger plane, Avianca Airlines. I picked it up. I took it home, put it in the air condition.
How many flowers in a box?
About 300 roses.
So you had about 3,000 roses.
Yep.
How long did it take to get them from Colombia to the U.S.?
Oh, there was night cargo flights and passenger flights. The passenger flights will come about once a day, and then you pick them up 4 or 5 hours after the plane lands. PQ inspects them, and customs inspects them, and then you can pick them up when they clear. You pay for the freight, and then you can pick them up. So that's how the whole thing started. Then in 1985, I hired my first employee, which was a sales manager for a company that I basically looked up to. Company at the time was one of the pioneers, one of the largest companies.
Of what?
Of flowers.
And so you hired him away?
I hired him away from that company to basically learn the wholesale side of the business.
How much business were you doing at that time?
Not even $100,000 a year.
Were you still a one-man or a two-man operator?
A one-man show.
Just one-man show. Were you bringing all your flowers in by plane at that time?
Yes, by plane, but, you know, I was getting maybe one shipment a week just to give myself time to go and sell that shipment, and after that shipment was sold, then I would get another shipment because I have a handful of customers. There were flower shops, so they would buy a couple of bunches. The biggest one bought one box.
Now, how competitive were you price-wise at that time?
Basically, I have very little knowledge of pricing, so I rely on the customers to basically give me guidance on the price. My goal at the beginning was to understand the business more than making money. It was to understand how the business flows, and I was completely wrong in how I approached it initially because I was trying to sell to the florist. There's no volume selling to florists and very limited to a city market. And then quickly I realized by listening to seeing what other companies were bringing large volumes, I would ask, how does that work to the truck drivers of the other companies? And they would explain to me that they bring big lots and they'll put them in trucking companies and they will go to wholesalers in different cities of the country. And that's when I realized that I was going about the business wrong.
So that's when you switched gears?
I switched gears. I hired this gentleman and we started to become a real company.
So
we actually incorporated in 1985.
When did you hire him?
I think I hired him in August 1984, to be exact.
Okay, and this guy had been in the wholesale flower business for years.
For years. The gentleman that at the time had 52 years old.
So this guy knew exactly what to do.
Exactly. So he became my mentor in the business.
Did he work with you daily?
He would sell the flowers. I would pick them up at the airport. At the time, we rented a little place, and we put a little cooler and have one truck, and then we'll pick up the flowers at the airport, bring them to that location, and then ship them to, at the time, the only trucking company that was moving flowers out of Miami was Armellini. So we'd take them to the Armellini terminal with a label to each other customers that we have made the sale. We will sell in the morning, we will ship in the afternoon. Late afternoon, the arrivals from South America, and then in the next morning, we start selling. As we started bringing product every day, little by little. The second year, when we established the company in late 84, in 1985, we sold $600,000.
At retail, let's say a dozen roses sells for $10 on the streets. What are the margins for a retailer?
every company has different margins.
So how about related to your cost? How much margins could you make?
It's based on quality and it's based on innovation. So we take a price point and we basically study what the consumer thinks, an educated consumer and an uneducated consumer, what they perceive as far as value from a bunch of flowers, depending on the mixture of flowers, depending on what you offer in the length and the grade. You achieve a price point, and then once you achieve a price point, then you go back what the retailer takes, what the grower needs, then we find ourselves margin in between.
Does it all depend on the type of flower?
It all depends on the type of flower and the retail point that you want to hit.
So how long did it take for your company to be profitable or start making money? You're listening to an exclusive interview found on Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com.
I will say that the second year, 1986, we started turning profits.
Who was your very first big buyer or client?
It was a wholesaler in the Midwest called Hill Floral. It had 16 wholesale houses. That was my first customer back in 1985.
At that time, how many different types of flowers were you bringing in?
Our main flower was carnations. And then roses the second. I think we brought a variety of chrysanthemums, some tropicals. We had a good variety of products.
In Colombia, the farming of flowers, could you farm just about any type of flower there, or were there special flowers that really farm well?
We're lucky in Colombia because we have different types of climates, different types of altitudes. So basically for carnations, roses, and more traditional crops out of South America, they've been grown in the savannah of Bogota, which is what we mentioned to you, the carnations and the roses.
What were some of the challenges with a perishable item like that, and how did you overcome some of those from either spoiling in the shipment process? What did you have to do to keep those flowers fresh and perky?
Some of the challenges at the beginning was the reliability of the airlines. The inspections, because at the time the inspections were very archaic, to say the least. So they would poke with knives inside the boxes looking for drugs. So there was a lot of damage of the product in the inspections. The agriculture inspectors, since the amounts were very small, the percentage that they inspected was greater than it is today. So when they inspected, basically there's a lot of bruising on those flowers weren't usable. So as the volume grows and the inspectors become more expert, and in Colombia we're increasing the effectiveness in fumigating and not having any pests when by the time we got here, then the inspections started becoming more systematically and more organized. Nowadays, for instance, it's x-ray machines. So the technology basically changed and helped us tremendously.
I see. How about as far as keeping the flowers fresh before they get to the wholesaler and the retailer?
We will have temperature control coolers and facilities that did not have the technology of today, but there were some challenges in keeping the humidity levels that were needed and being constant on the temperatures, but all that has evolved.
Did you ever lose a huge load of flowers just destroyed by pest or temperature?
Several times.
What happened, and how can someone learn from that?
The plane got delayed, or customs stopped the plane here in Miami, and the flowers cooked inside the plane. By the time we got them, it was 90 degrees.
And you just had to throw them out.
Yes, exactly. It's cost of doing business.
So how long could customs hold up the shipment?
Well, customs at the beginning, you know, since there was a lot of drugs being exported from Colombia, customs at times had intensive inspections, and then the intensive inspections would take that time inside the plane in the middle of the day. Definitely you would lose the entire shipment.
Are all your shipments now coming by plane still?
Everything by plane.
Everything, because it would take too long to go by boat.
Yeah, exactly, and there's not efficient ports to expedite and to clear product as the airports are.
Oh, so this is a different ballgame than importing by ship.
Oh, completely. This is very fast.
Very fast. If you compared shipping freight and plane freight, how much more is plane freight?
Like that, probably about at least five times.
Five times.
Yeah. We have done some tests and ships coming out of Costa Rica with chrysanthemums. It's worked out, but, you know, our business today is very fast, and our business today requires a lot of information and UPCs and all kinds of things because we send ready product to display. So if you bring it by ship, basically you're replenishing orders. It doesn't give you the time to bring it by boat.
Right, I understand. So tell me, how did your account with Walmart start? Can you talk about that?
Walmart has been a driving force in our business.
Since the last 12 years?
Yes.
But before Walmart came along, give me a picture of what the business was like.
Basically, while we were selling to wholesalers, the business was very traditional. We grow the flowers in South America. We import the flowers into Miami. It was the port of entry of choice. Then we would track into the different wholesalers, mostly east of the Rockies. That was our market, because California would take care of the West. And it was traditional. The wholesalers will sell to the retail florists. That was the channel. Importers in Miami will sell to wholesalers around the United States, and the wholesalers will distribute to the local retail florists.
Can I ask you this? When you imported them to the wholesalers, were you importing in bulk?
Very good question.
The wholesalers package, or the retailers do all that?
The retailers will put it together. Remember how we used to get 1,000 roses from a retailer?
Sure.
Exactly. Nothing like the supermarket. The supermarket basically is ready to go. A retailer will have the bulk and the little cooler, and when you get an order, they will put it together.
That's right. Just like any flower stand on the street.
Exactly.
They do it all. That's right. You're importing just bulk flowers.
Yes. And I would say in 1992, a couple of companies started toying with supermarkets. It all started by selling the inferior quality flowers who go to the supermarket. The vision of the business was not in the supermarket. It was in the wholesalers and the retail florists. But the supermarkets took this business to a new level by creating what we call today best outlet to move flowers, which is convenience, the impulse sale. Because before it was occasion-driven, remember. The only way you write flowers is if you had an anniversary, a birthday, or Valentine's Day, or Mother's Day. It was driven by occasion. Nowadays, it's an impulse purchase.
When you walk into the supermarket, they all have flower stands. It's the first thing you walk in front of, and you think of your wife and girlfriend.
We basically, the supermarkets changed the business.
How much growth to the industry did the supermarkets bring?
Oh, tremendous growth. And when the supermarkets come in and the mass markets come in, it drives the prices down. But the business starts growing, so we look at the business from a different dimension now. We're looking at the business like a logistics business.
Yes, so who were the big players in the supermarket business?
By far, Walmart. The largest is Costco, is Kroger, Albertsons, all the large chains.
Even before you got in, right?
Before I got into it, you know, basically we selected a handful of supermarkets. I would say Kroger was one of the pioneers. Albertsons and Publix, let's say.
Were they importing or buying from the U.S.?
Buying from the U.S. It's very difficult for a supermarket to import directly. And they need a lot of service. They need finished product. You have to have dedicated facilities. It's a little more complicated than it sounds. So, yeah, they rely on good importers that adequate facilities at the beginning with not much, but a lot of labor-intensive processes. Now it's more automated. There's bouquet machines that come from Holland. There's a lot of pneumatics installed in the plants nowadays. So the business has sophisticated somehow.
All right, so you saw this trend in selling flowers through the supermarkets, and you weren't in Walmart. So how did that come about?
Our first supermarket account was Winn-Dixie. And we started selling rose bouquets, you know, carnation bouquets, and a couple of mixed bouquets. And once you start developing an account, you go after the next one, and all of a sudden we find ourselves working with Walmart.
So were you assembling and creating bouquets at that time?
Yes.
So you had now a facility to do all that?
Yeah, at the time we had a small facility and basically supply a handful of supermarkets.
So was it a handful, or how many Winn-Dixies were you able to get into?
Oh, no. Winn-Dixie, I had probably one division that was supplying. Each division was probably anywhere from 200 to 300 stores.
Were you doing delivery direct to the stores?
No, direct to the distribution centers at the time.
Of Winn-Dixie?
Yes.
With the bouquets and the different arrangements, whatever they ordered?
Yes.
And then they distributed them?
Exactly. The business is started by manufacturing here in the States. You bring the bulk flowers, and then you put combinations together here, and you deliver to the distribution centers. As the business evolved and the volumes increased, we started manufacturing at farm level.
At farm level?
Yes.
What does that mean?
We would put combinations of flowers together at the farm.
In Colombia?
In Colombia, and then bring it dry pack into America, and then convert that into a wet pack. Process and put them in water, get them ready for display.
I got it. So that saved you money, labor, and all you had to worry about basically was distribution.
Exactly. And that's basically how we drive the business today, on the volume business. There's a certain amount of products or certain lines that are manufactured here purposely because they have products from around the world. Every country, every origin, for example, Colombia is very good at roses, chrysanthemums, and certain lines. Holland is traditionally very good on bulb products like tulips, lilies. And so sometimes you have to bring products from different parts. Ecuador is very good in roses. So you bring certain things from different countries, you assemble them together here. So that happened then, happens today, if you want to achieve a certain look. So I will say the majority of the products are assembled at farm level. But around 20 to 25% is assembled in the United States still. There is a big movement today, which is the volumes are great now. Large volume, so we are trying to establish distribution centers closest to the customer. So we take areas of the country, let's say Chicago. We say from Chicago we can hit Wisconsin, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio. We put a distribution center in Chicago, which is a good entry port for flowers from Africa, for flowers from Europe. Inclusive, we can bring to Miami and truck efficiently to Chicago, put that into distribution center there to service all that area in the Midwest.
And did you do that?
Yes, sir.
How many distribution centers do you have?
We have one in New York and actually New Jersey, one in Chicago, one in Atlanta.
And are you importing from other countries now?
Oh, yes.
So it all started from Colombia.
Yes, and nowadays it comes from everywhere. We bring from Central America, Costa Rica, bring from Mexico, bring from Guatemala, bring from Colombia, Ecuador, we bring from Peru. Basically, it's a worldwide business.
What is your company status in the flower industry as far as importers?
We're pretty large. I would say we could be anywhere from number three or number five.
What's your competitive advantage? Why are you any better than number one, two, three, and four? Or is it just all the same and you just happen to be one of them? Do you offer a better distribution? Do you offer better service, better flowers?
We're the pioneers in distribution. That's, I would say, one of our biggest strengths in distribution.
Is the guy you hired still with you?
No. Oh, he stayed with me only 5 years.
Oh, he stayed with you about 5 years?
Yes. Well, in 1990, we parted ways.
I see.
But I learned tremendously from him, the wholesale side of the business.
Did you bring in any more expertise?
Oh, yeah. By myself, I have the best team in the industry.
So is this a good philosophy that you would tell anyone?
Yes, I would always advise to surround yourself with the best. Basically, you have to find a balance in what you bring in at the right time. Because you can bring in stars, but you don't have the best. To use the talent of a star. So you have to combine your size business to the talent that you bring in so you can exploit the potential.
When you bring in by ship, you bring in by container loads. How does it work by plane? What's the measurement?
By plane loads, basically.
By plane load. How many container loads would equal a plane load?
We bring what we call a master pack, a full box equivalent.
And so when you pay for that, what's the unit of payment?
By kilogram.
By kilo, okay.
By kilogram, let's say the box weighs about 18 kilograms, and then you pay the multiplier for that kilogram. That varies today, is very expensive because it's fuel.
Okay, well, let's go back to Walmart. Let's talk about how you first got your leg in the door with Walmart. You were already selling to Winn-Dixie and some of the grocery store chains. At that time, did you have any distribution centers set up except the one in Miami?
Basically, Walmart started the business with dry pack flowers.
What's a dry pack flower?
Basically, instead of a ready case display, it will be dry pack, and we will ship it via FedEx. And they will get directly into the stores because, remember, at the time, Walmart had more Division 1 stores than Supercenters.
Division 1 is just a basic store.
Basic format, the format that Walmart started.
Can you explain what a dry pack is for anyone?
Yes, a dry pack is flowers in a box without water.
A box without water. Like a bulk box, right?
A bulk box. But, you know, you got finished product. You got bouquets already finished. What we call the dry pack box. And then the wet pack box is ready to be displayed. It's in the bucket with water and solution. So Walmart started the business by cutting bouquets at the stores and put them in water.
That's how they were doing it before you came on.
No, that's how we started the business with Walmart.
Oh, I see. Before we get to that, let's talk about how you got into Walmart, that process. How did it originate? Because this is what the listeners definitely want to know about.
Okay. Walmart basically is a very fair company in the sense that they give opportunity to everybody.
Did you approach Walmart?
Yes. The opening of the Walmart door basically was by coincidence. There was a company in Texas that was talking to Walmart. They approached several people in Miami to investigate about the flower business. How they can get into flowers. So there were some test programs done through this company, a company in Texas that has some relationship with Walmart. So we started toying with the programs and fine-tuning what would be the best way until we found that FedEx and directly into the store was the way. So the business started with the intermediation of a company that had already the relationship there. But as the business grew, we got closer to Walmart, and we started developing programs that made more sense for the stores.
What was the business's relationship with Walmart before they investigated flowers? Were they in Walmart already?
Yeah, they were in Walmart already.
What were they selling?
Well, they were selling potted products, potted plants, lawn and garden.
Okay, and they had a relationship and they had been selling already?
Yes.
So they were looking, expanding into flowers, and they were looking for a supplier?
Yes.
Okay, so they approached you, and you guys worked it out together.
Exactly. Then three or four suppliers out of Miami started doing tests with Walmart and those, one of our companies. And it was very slow at the beginning because clearly you have to do a lot of tests. You have to do a lot of work with the stores to make sure that the stores buy into the program. There was basically no support. So it was a struggle in the beginning.
Can you describe how slow it is? But before we get to that, just for the listeners, if they want to get their product into Walmart, you didn't have to hassle with flying over to Bentonville and interviewing. You bypassed that by using someone who already had the relationship, who already had a similar type product, and then how did that technically work? Would they buy from you and get paid, or how did you work that out?
That was an intermediation at the beginning. It stayed like that for 2 or 3 years.
Did that work well?
Well, it worked well, yes, for the most part, because the volumes were moderate and we were both learning. They had more understanding of what Walmart requirements were, and we were just a flower company learning the business. So as the businesses started growing, you know, there were mostly promotions being done. Instead of everyday business, we took advantage of Valentine's and Mother's Day because that was one time that people pay attention to flowers.
How did you take advantage of that? Who did the promotions? The Walmart?
The Walmart, exactly.
They would pay for the promotions?
Yes, but promotions mean focusing on where's their demand.
Yeah.
If you take a Valentine's Day, there's always demand in Valentine's Day for product. Mother's Day, the same thing. So it's not difficult to sell the product those two times. So if you drive business through those areas, then you start getting the approval of the associates, and the people start becoming believers in the business. This really sells. Then you got stores that wanted to continue with the program, so you will support those stores, so the word of mouth around the stores and the Walmart by believing in the category.
So Walmart was developing an expert in that category since it was an all-new category.
Exactly. Like everything, you go present the program, they test it, they see how it works, then they see the pros, the cons, and they start working towards making it a category that's going to stay.
So you were charting new territory with the flower business in Walmart.
Absolutely. We went into a supermarket at the beginning. It was uncharted territories for the supermarket and for us with that relationship.
All right, so the challenges with shipping the dry and the wet packs and Walmart assembling, that became a problem. How did you overcome that challenge and make it more streamlined for Walmart?
Clearly, when the businesses started taking shape, we made the decision that we had to go to wet packs. Have the product in water and deliver in water so the associates didn't have to process product. And that's really when the business changed. But it changed for the whole industry because they don't have the manpower store level to deal with processing product. So the businesses started getting serious. They gave us good square footage. The supermarket started buying refrigerated display units. So that's when the businesses started really getting serious. So supply started to go up, having the vision that the supermarkets were going to play a big role in the industry. So quickly, by 1995, the flower business was full-blown with the supermarkets. Then in 1997, there was a consolidation in the industry.
A consolidation?
Yes.
What happened?
Dole Fresh came into the business, bought three large companies, and another group from Washington, D.C. came into the group and bought like 34 companies and consolidated into one name called USA Floral Products.
How did that affect you?
I sold my company to USA Floral Products. That happened in late 1997. We basically became part of a large conglomerate that basically was about $1 billion in sales of flowers, Walmart being a very important customer of that group. And basically the company had an international division in Europe called Florimex, had a wholesale division that had about 25, 27 wholesalers around the nation, and about 12 or 15 importers in Miami. So that company basically stayed active for about 3 years, and in 2001, the company couldn't continue.
Is this USA Floral or the international division?
No, USA Floral basically was sold back to majority of the owners.
What happened? Were they losing money?
Losing money by bundles.
Do you know why?
There was a lot of efforts in trying to change the industry too quick, too fast. And they left a lot of things half done, and those things came back to really destroy the company.
Okay, so what happened with you? They bought you out, and then what did they do once the company was losing
money?
Well,
we were part of the USA Floral Products. We were lucky enough to have the opportunity to put all the bouquet companies together. There were five companies in the group. one of the companies, another one that I have sold. Then in that consolidation emerged, at the time, was called the USA Floral Bouquet Division that deals strictly with the supermarkets.
So that is your forte, mainly the supermarkets?
Yes. Today, it became my forte.
And bouquet is assembled bouquets already done?
Yes. So in March 2001, USA Floral Products as a company went into Chapter 11 with hopes to sell the different divisions, the wholesale division, the international division, and the import division to different people who were interested in buying the company because they were going to be dissolved.
And you bought it?
And we bought it.
Did you get a good deal?
We got a good deal.
Let me ask you, when they offered to buy, was it just too good to pass up, or did you have some concerns that they may put you out of business?
Well, you know what? We've worked so hard for so many years, and you don't want to give that up. And there was an opportunity to buy a lot more than we sold. So as a businessman, you just seek out opportunities and you go after them. Of course, there was some risk involved. We were able to put together one of the better teams because we got the best of the five companies that were basically leaders in the bouquet business.
So what's it like working with Walmart? Are they easy to deal with?
They're extremely organized.
Who do you deal with on a daily or weekly or monthly basis at Walmart?
Basically, we have in our company the account manager, and the account manager has a team. Basically, the team is formed by category advisors, by analysts, retail link specialists, and by operations people.
Is this its own category, flowers?
Yes. It's part of produce in Walmart, but it's produce and floral.
Produce and floral.
Yes, we fall under produce because of the perishable side of the business. But there's this little slash that goes and puts floral because we're very different than produce. You cannot eat the flowers. You're not supposed to. You can eat them, but you're not supposed to. So we fall under produce, but we are our own category within the company.
So this is Walmart's team, right?
No, this is my team.
Oh, you have your own team just for Walmart.
Yes.
Go over the team.
Okay, the team is composed by an account manager, then basically a retail link specialist, analyst, category advisor, sales support team, and operations manager.
And you brought in all this expertise.
We built that expertise.
You built this from the ground up?
Yes. We have an excellent team dealing with Walmart. We pride ourselves to understand the Walmart needs and to cater to those.
So what would you tell an importer or someone who's thinking about supplying Walmart? Any advice on how to work with them, what they can expect, and what you can expect as a supplier to them?
I can summarize it in two words. Underpromise and overachieve.
And they like that.
It's what they expect. Don't promise things that you cannot deliver.
You better be able to do what you say.
Exactly.
Or you're out of there.
You're out of there. You really have to deliver results.
Who dictates the terms? Do you dictate the terms or do they dictate the terms?
They dictate the terms.
Would you say that's probably across the board anyone who wants to sell to Walmart?
They basically know their business very well. The retail business and the information that they provide is second to none. So we know the sales of our products within their stores. We know what we're selling. We know what's not selling. We have access to talk to the people in replenishment to see how the stores need to be replenished. We have a lot of information to be able to make the right decision.
So you're hooked into a network. You know exactly entire inventories across your accounts in Walmart. How much is in there? That's all integrated online?
Yes, through Retail Link.
Let's go back to the transition when that company with the plants, you started and you were basically selling to him and he was going into Walmart. Where did that end and how did you become the main account for Walmart?
One of the companies that we have in the group basically was the pioneer into this. So it's a transition that you go back and you said, how do I end up here? The relationship was with that company. When we got all together, it became our relationship. But we were supplying all the time to that company. So we were already doing it, but we weren't officially the vendor, you understand?
Yes.
So we didn't feel the transition.
Can you tell me, what does the company look like now? How many Walmarts are you in right now?
It gives us about 900 stores that we service.
You're servicing 900 stores?
Yes, 900 stores east of the Rockies. In some cases, we go to Nebraska. If we're doing a promotion, we cross over to the west, depending on the promotions.
Who's got west to the Rockies?
Our competitors, you know, it's divided into basically four main suppliers.
And Walmart doesn't want to put all their eggs in one basket, right?
Never does. We wouldn't want them to do that.
So with an item like this, I'm sure that you're not waiting 6 months for your money like other companies with hard goods. How long do you have to wait to be paid?
Walmart pays their bills very well.
As long as you follow directions. For more interviews like this, please go to hardtofindseminars.com.
Exactly. Some of the companies that criticize that Walmart does not pay the bill, it's not Walmart. It's that sometimes companies don't know how to bill Walmart. So once you bill correctly, everything is automated. We don't bill Walmart with hard copies. We bill Walmart electronically, EDI. So it's very, very good. You couldn't ask for a better customer in that respect.
What happens with fluctuating prices on the international market? Is there a fluctuation in cost internationally?
You have to present to Walmart a very consistent program. Those fluctuations and those things, you have to keep them to yourself, work them out.
Yeah, they're not interested in your problems.
They're not interested, and you shouldn't present your problems to Walmart. You present solutions. That's another thing. You don't go to Walmart with your problems. You go to Walmart with solutions for them.
So your innovations with the wet packs to the grocery end of it, did your competitors do that as well?
Oh, yeah. There was an industry understanding that we needed to move to a more friendly pack for the stores.
What other innovations are you developing for the industry within the grocery side? Do you see any additional trends?
Well, e-commerce. We will supply Walmart.com. We supply a lot of the people that sell flowers in the e-commerce on the Internet.
How is their e-commerce side?
It's good. We do quite a bit of business with them on the e-commerce side.
Do they handle the shipping, or are you going right to distribution centers?
We go directly to the consumer.
You're handling all the shipments directly to the consumers?
You go to Walmart.com, and you buy the flowers there, and we ship them, and you get them in your house.
I see.
So we communicate with them electronically. So there's a lot of technology involved to work with Walmart.
So is the only option for distribution going right to their DCs? Are there any companies supplying Walmart that aren't using their traditional distribution centers?
Yes, we do. Every holidays and promotions, we deliver directly to the stores.
You do?
Yes, we do. For example, for Mother's Day, we deliver practically somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 states. For Division One stores, the one that does not have perishable distribution centers.
What kind of sales force do you have nationally on that? Or I guess it's not a sales force, it's
logistics.
Logistics.
Yes. Basically, we create routes, and we deliver stores. We have windows to deliver 24 hours during Valentine's and Mother's Day. Some of the stores that are open 24 hours, we have that window, so we create routes based on the volumes of stores. We create routes in refrigerated trucks, and over a span of 3 or 4 days, we deliver all these stores around the country. You're talking about 200 trucks around.
What holiday produces more sales in flowers than any other holiday?
In terms of revenue dollars, Valentine's Day. Units, Mother's Day.
Mother's Day volume dollars, Valentine's.
Yes.
Is that because of the roses?
It's because of the roses and Valentine's, exactly.
The prices are always higher on them.
The demand is so high, and we put the growers through so much that the only way that we can afford to do it as an industry is if the prices are higher, because it goes a lot into it. Buys a lot of production. You go into overtime. It costs a lot of money to deliver a Valentine's.
How do you handle the supply end of it? What challenges do you face on making sure that you have supply coming in? The growers, I mean.
Growers are pretty good, pretty serious. And you work with people that we've been working with for years, you know, 15, 18 years. I got most of my family in the business. They're suppliers.
Oh, your family back in Colombia?
Yeah, my sister, my brother-in-law.
You got family involved in the whole thing?
Yeah, the only one that's not involved is my father and my mother.
Tell me a little bit more about your native country of Colombia, opportunities, risks, especially why they call Colombia the capital of flowers.
Well, Colombia's come a long way, I tell you. We've had some share of troubles. The influence of the drugs created not only a bad reputation, but a lot of internal problems. But I think Colombia, with the new president, Mr. Uribe, has come a long way. Security is much better. The guerrillas have lost a lot of ground to the new government. And it's a more secure place. You know, it's a much better place to visit nowadays.
What kind of trade agreements does Colombia have with the United States? Is there free trade with Colombia?
We're working on the free trade agreement. It was approved, but has not been signed. We hope that it's be signed by the end of the year.
Okay. And what kind of tariffs are there bringing products into Colombia?
flowers right now, we are under the Indian Treaty Agreement, which there's no duties.
What's that agreement called?
The Indian Treaty.
Indian Treaty.
Yeah. Indian, like the mountains.
Oh, okay, got it.
The Indian Treaty is in effect, and there's no duties. It used to be about 7.5% to 8% duties. So through that treaty, we have no duties, basically.
All right, very good. How do you like the title, the Latin King of Flowers?
I don't like it. The intentions were good, but I was pretty embarrassed by the title.
That's funny. Can you talk about flowers for hours or days, or is flowers just a vehicle to your passion, which is business?
Yeah, I love the business. I love the industry. I love the product. I love what it means. I love what it does for people. I'm very happy. I'm very lucky to be in this industry. I consider it a very good industry of good people, so I consider that has a lot of potential for growth.
What other buyers and clients do you have besides Walmart?
We have a lot of clients. We deal with most of the supermarkets around the country. I mean, we deal with Safeway, we deal with Publix, we deal with Albertsons, we deal with Eckers, Walgreens, 7-Eleven. We grow flowers everywhere.
Is dealing with individual companies, is it always a different experience?
Completely different. We have a philosophy in a company. We visit our customers with a clean sheet of paper, and we start from zero. We have no preconceptions when we go to our customers.
Do you have category managers for different companies?
Absolutely.
Everyone's an expert in different things.
Everyone is an expert. Every customer has his team. We don't deal with most customers. All of our customers are very large. The potential is huge. So what we do is we dedicate teams. We built a little team around the customer without being too aggressive and spending resources where the business is not there, but we initially set up somebody accountable for the customer needs. We want to make sure that every client feels that is the most important client.
How many employees do you have?
Right now, the low season, we are about 600 associates. And during the high peak seasons, we get up to 1,200, 1,300 here in the States, not counting what we have in South America.
What's your typical day like?
Typical day is we start early in the morning by reading email. Today, seeing my daily reports, we have a couple of indicators that we manage daily. Then by 11 o'clock in the morning, we start our meetings. We have several meetings in the day. The morning, we use it for internal business, and the afternoon is dedicated to other things, you know, future things. My goal is basically to open opportunities for the company. To look ahead, not in touch too much with the day-to-day anymore.
Are you focusing on any innovative marketing techniques to move more flowers within the retail establishment?
Yes, basically packaging is a big passion that I have. Innovating in packaging and basically logistics, the process, the internal process and the external logistics of the company, you know, I get very much involved.
Have you seen packaging increase sales?
Oh, yes, definitely. We focus on quality. I mean, the quality of our products has to be the best out there.
Yeah, because when you walk in, I mean, even from my experience, if I'm going to buy a bouquet of flowers for my wife, you're looking through those bouquets for the most beautiful one.
Absolutely. And we have to give you options. Every time your bucket goes, you know, you have to have the right assortment. You have to have the right quality in it, the right seasonal colors. We pride ourselves that we are very market-driven.
And this research is documented what sells best, right?
Oh, of course, of course. We have a lot of research with the focus groups to understand what the consumer wants. We do study demographics.
How about with Walmart? What's the agreement with them?
Well, we sell them product, you know, but we're responsible for certain indicators like maintain margins, and we're responsible for it for giving them a profit. We want to make sure that Walmart's profitable in the category. We want them to be interested in the category. We don't want them to be disappointed of the category.
Is it a profitable category for them?
Yes.
Very profitable?
I don't know how it compares to other categories, but I think they're happy with it.
How about compared to the plants and stuff?
I would say flowers is better business.
Flowers is better business. So will Walmart ship product back to you that doesn't move?
No. Basically, they dispose of it. They mark it down. They dispose of it, but it's pre-planned.
It's all pre-planned.
It's in the model. We just monitor that it doesn't go over what we already planned for.
So marking it down is an effective way to liquidate it and get rid of it?
Yes. Because, you know, there's a certain amount of display that you need to have, make the cases attractive. So you're always going to have some. I believe if you don't throw away some, you're missing sales. It's part of the business to throw away some. It's a perishable item.
Are they open to ideas for better marketing?
Yes, absolutely.
So who do you present ideas to?
To to the buyers. We have a group of people that we work very closely with.
And they'll try stuff out?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They love to try stuff out. The office in Bentonville, that just deals with Walmart on a daily basis.
You have an office in Bentonville, huh?
Absolutely.
What are they dealing with daily with them?
We deal on replenishment, restocking the stores. We deal on new programs. We do analysis that we have to do for them. And we have a category advisor that works with them on planning and on future promotions and future holidays.
Did you ever meet Sam Walton?
No, unfortunately not, I think. But I did meet the wife, and I've seen some of the sons in Bentonville. It's an incredible company.
What do you think sets Walmart apart from all the other mass retailers you're dealing with?
Their associates.
Their people.
Yes. They're incredible, and their dedication is incredible. How they handle themselves. They're from the top management. They're very humble people. The CEO of Walmart is almost like a regular guy, being one of the most important executives in the country, probably the most important, the largest company in the world.
What would you say to people out there who want to get involved in international trading business from scratch and to be successful like what you've achieved so far? What kind of advice would you give these people out there?
Well, one of the things when you deal with so many variables and things that are out of your control, you got to stay focused and have patience and build a model that can deal with those things. Don't build a model that any hiccup can destroy. Build safety nets around your model. That's our philosophy. Our model has to be strong enough that can sustain all kinds of problems. Because when you deal with perishables, you deal with third world countries, and you deal with government agencies, that's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, you've got a very complex business.
And then we deal with nature on the other end, and the weather changes around the world. So there's a lot of variables that you have to have plan B and C. Because your customer always gets the delivery, 100%.
The early days when you were really getting established, what kind of hours were you putting into your work?
Incredible hours, 7 days a week sometimes. The executives of the company, we all work 18, 20 hours a day. We make it a rule now. We sleep at least 4 hours.
Okay, yeah. Are you married with children?
Yes, I have 2 beautiful kids.
Okay, great. How do you negotiate with your partner, your wife, with the long hours?
We're lucky enough these days to have technology. And technology makes us a lot more efficient. For example, I don't know if you heard about the BlackBerry.
Yeah, they're wonderful.
They're wonderful tools that keep you in touch with your work. You know, so while you're vacationing, you still can be reachable and you can answer questions and you can expedite on decisions anywhere you are. So technology is making it very easy for us. Stay in touch with our businesses.
Do you have any other hobbies?
Yes, I do ski a lot, water and snow, and we love boating. We're here in South Florida, so that's one thing that keeps the family together.
Very good. How about the hurricane season coming up? Is that something that concerns you?
We always have contingency plans, you know, because our customers need to get deliveries. So we have the other plans that would pick up the slack. Locally, the hurricane season is doing a slow period, so we overcome it because we can move product directly into our Atlanta facility, and we do distribution from there when we shut down here. But we have backup generators here in Miami that in any event we can still preserve the product.
So what kind of future plans do you see for yourself in the industry in the next 5 years?
Well, expansion, continue our expansion over the country. We're moving west now, looking at Texas, Dallas in particular. We're looking at Denver, Colorado, and we're looking at California.
And expansion means more plants?
More distribution centers.
I see. What's currently the volume per year?
The volume in dollars the company moves is about $220, $230 million.
$220 to $230 million?
Yes. That's the target for this year. We have 4 different companies that are responsibly taking care of different segments of the industry. We have e-commerce division. We have the mass market supermarket division. We have the retail florist division, and we have the service division, the service importers. We have additional capacity that we sell to third parties, people who want to reach, and that's where we make one of our strengths, logistics. We got pretty good at it, so we have additional capacity that we outsource to others.
How about the e-commerce division? Do you see the numbers going up on internet sales?
Yeah, triple digits every year.
They're increasing triple digits?
Yes.
That's going to be a huge business on
you. That's going to be huge. It's a difficult business because it's extremely seasonal. I mean, Valentine's in Malaysia is huge. So that makes it very difficult because you have to outsource a lot of infrastructure.
How about the seed business, flower seeds? Is that something you ever considered?
We don't get into that, but we have very good relationships with them, you know, breeders and propagators, because we've got to stay in touch with what new varieties are coming in, better shelf life, more color definition. We're looking for larger head size, larger bloom size. We're looking to improve what we have constantly, so we work very closely with the breeders. Most of them are Holland, so that gives us the ability to see what's common and what's not, so we can advise the growers to what to go into or what not to go into.
You are a minority business?
Yeah, we're certified as a minority business. Actually, we have a category called Minority Woman Business.
Minority Woman Business?
Yeah.
How did you get that category, and how did that help you get in?
First, we started because we wanted to do business with the local governments here. So we got certified as a minority business by the city of Miami. Then we moved into the county. From the county, we moved to the state. And then this association, basically most of the large companies around the world promote to help minority business, approached us because they saw we were, so we became a minority-owned firm.
Did that give you an advantage of getting in?
I don't know, but let me tell you, it will come in handy because everybody wants to be a community partner, you know? And working with minority business, it gives them basically that status that they work with minorities, co-communities.
Right, and Walmart, they have programs. They want to work with minorities.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I was featured in one of their flyers for the community partners.
So what do you think their advantage is to work with minority business? To look good to the community?
Yeah, to be more friendly to the community because, for instance, this is heavy influence Latino community in Miami. And then for them to see that one of their peers is successful working with them, it's an advantage. You know, you feel that you belong there. That Walmart supports the Latinos. So it is an advantage, but we don't use it that way. But I think it is. That's why we went for the certification. It puts us in front of a lot of good companies. We go to these shows, and basically every worthwhile company, we got a couple of little programs out there that we want to launch for corporate events and stuff like that. For example, we have a program that's called Speaking Roses. Now, we can emboss anything through laser technology, anything that you want on a rose.
You're embossing them right on the rose?
Yes.
On the petal?
On the petal.
Are you kidding?
It's beautiful. I can put a picture. For example, if it's your wife's birthday, I can write whatever you want on a petal of the rose. In the next rose, I can put her picture. On the next rose, I can put anything.
How fast are these machines able to do that?
Oh, very fast.
Are you doing those in your plant?
Yeah.
Are other companies doing it too?
No, we're the only company. Basically, we work closely with the owner of the license.
You've got an exclusive on it?
Yes, we've had an exclusive for a while.
Have you tested them?
Oh, yeah. It's a good program. If you go to FTD.com, they're there.
Are you supplying FTD?
Yeah.
Wow, that's incredible. This has been incredible. What an experience and an honor to be able to interview you.
My pleasure.
Yeah, you've been so forthcoming, and my listeners are going to love this. That's the end of this interview with Edgar. I hope this has been helpful. If you're interested in more interviews like these about how to get your product into Walmart and other large merchandising chains, please contact me at 858-274-7851. It's Michael with Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com and another bonus tip. How would you like to turn your $28 book or ebook or even a concept in your head into a $3,900 information product? I'll provide you the secrets on how to do this. If you'd like a completely free 30-day trial of my system for turning your simple book or even just a concept in your mind into an information product that you can sell for $97, $197, or even as much as $3,900 or more. This system includes a whole range of tricks and tips to help you pack your audio program full of great stories that take control of your listeners' brains. My information product creation system comes with my personal guarantee that you'll create an information product worth from $97 to $497 that's designed to sell like hotcakes. This is a 30-day free trial. If you'd like information on this, please email me at michael@hardtofindseminars.com. In the subject line, write in all caps, $28 book, and I'll email you information on how to turn your $28 book or even a concept in your mind into a $3,900 information product. Hi, this is Michael Senoff with Michael Senoff, hardtofindseminars.com. Here is another bonus tip and a valuable service that I offer to select clients. If you can talk into an ordinary telephone, you can be selling your own high price audio programs in as little as 7 days. This is the easiest way on earth to create a series of powerful audio recordings for your own information product. I call you on an ordinary telephone and interview you live on a series of related hot topics about your niche subject. I take care of all the editing, all the technical stuff, and I give you the finished MP3s or WAV files and audio transcripts. I only have time to give this deluxe personalized service to a few more carefully selected clients. If you're interested in developing and creating your own valuable information product that you could have complete in as short as 7 days and be selling for as high as $300, $500, even $3,900, please contact me at michael@hardtofindseminars.com. In the subject line of your email, please write info product information in all capital. Make sure I have your name and a way to contact you by phone, and we can talk about your specific ideas. Or you may call me at 858-274-7851. Hi, it's Michael Senoff here with another bonus tip from Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. It's called an audio infomercial. Your audio infomercial, which I create for you, will sell more products of yours faster, easier, and for less cost than any conventional advertising method, and I guarantee it 100%. Imagine catching yourself at concert pitch talking about what makes your business or your product service unique, what makes it special. Imagine taking a professional recording of that perfect sales presentation that I create for you and giving it to your prospect as an audio CD or an internet download from your website. I can do this for you faster than you ever thought possible with my personalized audio informational recording service. If you're interested in this unique service, please contact me at michael@hardtofindseminars.com. In the subject line of your email, in all capitals, write audio infomercial, and I will get back with you with more information. Here is another bonus tip from Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. Did you know that I have about 25 hours of exclusive consultations on my audio clips page, letter G? If you go to HardToFindSeminars.com, go to the audio clips section. This is a section where I have over 117 hours of audio interviews. Page G is nothing but consultations on information product development. You have over 25 hours of me giving my best advice on how to create, develop, produce, market, and sell audio information products. Go to page G if you want to learn how to create and market your own information products. Enjoy. There's an interview in the section of the audio recordings at Hard to Find Seminars. It's with a business buying expert. His name is Art Hamill. If you go back to my site, hardtofindseminars.com, and go to the product section, along the left side in light blue, you will see a list of topics. Look for the one that says business buying. Click on that link and you'll be taken to about 7 hours of exclusive interviews with Arthur Hamill. Arthur Hamill has purchased multi-million dollar businesses, over 200 of them in his lifetime, and he will tell you how to do the same thing. It's some fascinating content, and I wanted you to know about it. Here's another tip, and it has to do with podcasts. Did you know that not only are all 187 hours of my audio recordings available for free online at my website, hardtofindseminars.com, but each one of these audio recordings is also in the form of what's called a podcast. A podcast is a simple way for you to digitally and automatically subscribe to online and new recordings and have them downloaded into your mobile audio player, like an iTunes, iPod, or any other digital audio playing device. But the way you find my recordings on podcasts is by going to one of the number one sites called iTunes. iTunes is a virtual library for music, spoken word, and podcasts. podcast. The music and spoken word audios you'll pay money for, but the podcasts are absolutely free. And you can subscribe to my podcast. All you do is go to iTunes. You'll automatically download the iTunes software, and then you will search Michael Senoff in the subject line, and you will find most of my audio recordings right there available for you to download. This is great if you're on the road or you're on another computer, and if you have a mobile device, it'll automatically suck them right into your digital MP3 player, and you can take any of the audio recordings on the road with you. They'll also automatically notify you of any new recordings that I post as podcasts. Also, if you search through Google or Yahoo or any of the major search engines, Michael Senoff, and then podcast, you'll find other resources with other podcast search engines that host my podcast. I hope this helps, and if you're a podcast listener, I think you'll be happy about this. So go over to iTunes and download the iTunes software and search Michael Senoff, and you'll have all my audio recordings available for you right there. If you'd like to hone your skills as a copywriter, I have available for you the largest collection of one of the all-time master copywriters. His name is Claude Hopkins. Do a search on Claude Hopkins or go to my website, claudehopkinsadvertising.com. Claude Hopkins was one of the founders of modern-day advertising. He was one of the all-time legends in the industry, and myself and a partner have authored a book called the Claude Hopkins Advertising Collection. We have also searched thousands of newspapers to pull out all his classic ads. He's been responsible for building companies like Pepsodent Toothpaste, Palmolive, Schlitz Malt Liquor, many household products like puffed wheat cereal that you're still using in your kitchens today, and he was the master and the genius behind this. He was responsible for many of the cars we drive today, like the Oldsmobile. Go check it out, claudehopkinsadvertising.com, if you want the ultimate in education on how to write copy. You cannot pass this up. So go on over to claudehopkinsadvertising.com and learn from the best. Here is another bonus resource for you, and it's about a section on my site that has about 15 hours of audio interviews with copywriting experts, including Brian Keith Voiles, including Carl Galletti, including Eugene Schwartz. You will not find this content anywhere. It'll take you to an entire collection of audio recordings, MP3 downloads, and transcripts of some of my best interviews on the subject of copywriting. You'll be able to play them, download them, print the transcripts, and it's a collection you will not find anywhere else. If you want an education on copywriting, you will not find anything better than this. You know, if you're looking for a product that you can really hustle, something that you're learning from all the techniques in, you may want to check out another website I have. It's called idpen.com. That's id as in dog, pen.com. And what you're going to find out at idpen.com is one of my very first businesses. It's a business I started in my one-bedroom apartment when I had absolutely no money and I needed a product to sell. It's a pen that I manufacture right out of my house. I've been doing this for 10 years without any machinery or any equipment. I had a pen that I could manufacture for 17 cents and resell by the hundreds wholesale for $1.50 each. It's a product that has kept food on my table and kept the bills paid for 10 years, and it's an exciting opportunity that if you're looking for something to hustle, to use your copywriting skills or direct mail education, it may be something you want to go check out. So go head on over to idpen.com. There at the front page, you'll hear me do telemarketing. You can hear me get sales right on the front page. It's fascinating stuff, and I'd urge you, if you're looking for something to hustle, to go check it out. If you go back to my site, and in the products page, along the light blue section down on the left, you're going to see another link that has a lot of value, and it all has to do with joint ventures. Go to that page, and you're going to hear about an offer on a joint venture system like no other. If you read the letter there, it'll describe all the benefits, and the offer is virtually risk-free, meaning you can order my joint venture system, have it sent to you without paying a dime, have 30 days to review it, to digest all the information, and only if you're happy with it after 30 days do you pay. It's an offer you can't lose on, and if you're enjoying this content, you're really going to love what I have waiting for you on the joint venture link at the products page at hardtofindseminars.com. Go check it out. I think you'll really enjoy it.